Hello and welcome to Stormboy Speaks. Today's program is in our soundbite series, so slightly shorter, and is entitled Weather Modification and Chaos Theory. So, in recent times particularly, obviously there's been, you may have noted, a lot of attention on different kind of weather patterns and, you know, weather events. So if we start with something like, let's say, you know, there's been the Hawaiian Maui fires, the wildfires that obviously devastated that part of Hawaii, which was horrific. Okay, there's been many others. Very recently, there was a huge, just the other day, actually, I think there was a massive rainfall in Dubai, which is pretty unheard of, right? It's very, very rare. And there were floods, massive floods in Dubai. You could see this. The plains are flooding, things like this, which is crazy. And you see this online. There were earthquakes in New York just maybe a week, 2 weeks ago. There's, you know, volcanic eruptions in Indonesia, Java, etc. Now, there are, so what we're going to do is put this into context. So first of all, so in the conspiracy world, what people do is they immediately do the following. They immediately say, oh, and they're messing with the weather. They're controlling the weather. They're controlling it all. Well, if they're controlling it all, it isn't working out too well for them, is it? And my point is always, most people, you know, the lower level conspiracy theorists who don't really know what they're talking about, the problem is they do exactly as they're told, like good sheep. They are being sheep too. This is the problem. What happens is they're being given something to fear in a different way. And so they'll go, oh, they're doing this. And as I used to make the point all the time during COVID, is like, no, they're not doing that. They may be trying to do that. But let's say, for instance, to use the vaccinations from COVID to be, you know, to be straight to the point, is like, if it was all working out so well, I've made this point before, why would they need so many vaccinations? Well, it wasn't working out so well, was it? I mean, they weren't getting the effects they wanted, clearly, because they kept giving you more vaccinations. You know, just the same as they used many other methodologies during that time to control people. So the point is, if the powers that be are doing it all so well and running the world so effectively, why is it they constantly need to use new methodologies? Well, because it is a chaotic system in general, not just the weather. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But and they have very little control over it. They have more than we, either the average person is straight, but the bottom is they're trying these methodologies out, and one thing or another, what they're coming up against time and again, is they often don't hold sway very long, because if they did, the world would be so easy to run and there wouldn't be any problem. You wouldn't need a new thing to do this, you know, oh, they're using a methodology of mind control, oh, they're using a methodology of, I don't know, biochemical control in your food or whatever, right? They are using those things, that's definitely the case, but they're not working very well, are they? Because if they were working so well, and anybody who doubts that they wanted to do stuff like that, have a look at Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars. You can read the PDF online. Which will explain from the 80s that they had these ideologies, and it was written down in great detail. However, as I say, it isn't working that well, because if it was working so well, it's working a little bit, you know, but my bottom line is, if it was working as well as they wanted, like you say, this idea of the New World Order would have taken control, you know, around about before Bush and or even at the times of Reagan or whatever. Well, it didn't, did it? And you know, this point is, whilst there are parts of those things that are working to some extent, there's plenty that aren't. And we need to bear that in mind at all times. So back to this idea of weather modification. So as I say, the problem is with most conspiracy theorists, they will jump straight into this and go, oh, they're modifying the weather. Okay, so first of all, have they been modifying the weather on and off for a long time? Yes. You've been able to seed clouds since the 30s or 40s, a long, long time. It's very, very easy to seed clouds, right? to make it rain or to stop it raining. You pour a particular chemical on the clouds. I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but anyway, you Google this online and you'll really find it instantly. Okay, this is not news. Now, so why don't they do that all the time? And here, pointing question. So if they were doing that really well, a week before the coronation of Prince King Charles, right, they were saying it was going to be one of the hottest days on record, right? Oh, it's going to be incredible. Why? Well, they wanted people out there to go and see this coronation because they were afraid, obviously, that he wasn't very popular. This is obviously not news to most people. Now, the point is that on the day, as you may well know, it rained a lot. So do you think they wanted that to happen? No. No, they didn't, did they? So do you think that they probably used chemical substances to stop it raining? I would say it's extremely likely, don't you? This is one of the most powerful people on earth. You may not realize that, but it's the case. Whoever holds the kingship in Britain is a huge player. So is it likely that they would put great effort into that? It is, yes. Now, why didn't it then? Why wasn't it, should I say, incredibly sunny? Well, it wasn't sunny because the weather system is a very volatile, chaotic system. And anybody who's read anything like chaos theory in physics understands that in weather, it's as if you have, imagine the Earth that you know, is surrounded by, let's say, almost like sensors 1 meter apart all over the planet. Like imagine a three-dimensional version of, let's say, like dominoes. So instead of a line of dominoes, you have a sphere of dominoes, each one a meter apart, forwards, backwards, left and right from the next one. And that's spread out over the globe, you know, across the atmosphere, okay? So imagine you've got sensor points like that, 1 meter apart, as I say, across the whole of the Earth's atmosphere. And what you do is, imagine I knock into one, okay? It knocks into another and another, but they're all three-dimensional, forward, backward, left and right, up and down, right? So as soon as one knocks into the other, what happens is the butterfly effect kicks in. You know, we know this butterfly effect. You know, a butterfly flapping its wings in China can cause a tsunami in America, whatever, right? The bottom line is that what's happening is the point is hugely unstable. And we can't say, because if I knocked it half a millimeter more to the left, it would affect the next sensor half a millimeter more and maybe a foot more down the line. And so the consequences down the line are massive. In other words, tiny changes in my local environment cause massive changes on a global level. And this is something that is a constituent of universal physics across the known universe. So in the same way, that's exactly how weather works. So you can't ever really predict weather more than about 3 days maximally in advance. And even then, it's more of a guesswork than anything, but 3 days, right? At a real push. So anything else is just a general idea. You really can't, you know, name how it's going to be because it's very chaotic. And that analogy I've just painted for you is a good one, I think. So in the same way, well, let's dial that back now. So we go, well, okay, I see. So, you know, is it likely, for instance, then that the rainfall in Dubai, which is extreme, is caused by them messing around? Well, it could be, but it could be a backtrack. I'm not saying they're not messing around with the weather. They are, but they're not doing as much as you think because they've been doing it since the 30s and 40s. And as we pointed out before, it's not been working out too good for them, has it? They're not very good at it. And the reason is the system is chaotic, exactly as I just explained. So therefore, it's less likely they would put so much time and money into those kind of methodologies and look into other things. I mean, we do know, however, that yes, they've tried to do that idiot example, which they should know this, you know, I think I mentioned it last time, that they did something to try to kind of put into the atmosphere from one of the American universities to try and, you know, cool the Earth. Hilarious, of course. But nonetheless, you know, that's just going to mess everything up. It's not going to work. It's going to cause, you know, chaotic events. So the fact is, though, I don't think the higher level guys are going to be messing around too much with that. Certainly not in things like seeding clouds. It just doesn't work very well. And so if we look at the rainfall in Dubai, yeah, it could be that they've tried to mess around with something and it's had a negative effect and done that, or could have they intended it? Well, and if you want to know if they intended something to happen, as I was saying to somebody the other day, you need to simply think, what's the outcome and how does that benefit people in power? Well, how does the rainfall in Dubai benefit people in power? I'm not sure it does, really, does it? I mean, we're talking about a very powerful kind of centre there where, you know, the West and the East meet, if you like, or you know, the Muslim world and the Western world meet, and, you know. And I don't think that's in anybody's interest, really. So, yeah, not sure about that. So it's unlikely, let's put it that way. And then we look at things like the earthquakes in New York, right? And we look at, as I say, the volcanoes in Java. Do they have things that could cause those? They do, quite definitely. Without doubt, they do have technology which could cause those effects. It's well listed. But again, what we have to dial into that is, look, what would be the value in this specific instance? If they want to cause mass exoduses and to panic people and do that, that would be really useful. But if not, that doesn't really happen. You know, and we're talking like New York, let's say they wanted to do that because something that they're playing around with, they need to get people out of the city. Well, that would make sense, right? But in this case, that hasn't happened, and they clearly didn't want to do that because there was no, you know, major event for them. So that seems unlikely in this instance. We have to dial into this. As I say, we know that the sun is at solar max. It's causing huge changes to the Earth's weather. And we know that the Earth's core has potentially started spinning in the opposite direction, almost certainly the opposite direction. It potentially possibly stopped briefly a long time ago, the magma core center of the Earth, which of course affects magnetic effects in the Earth and over time will, and is slowly, as I say, actually changing the poles of the Earth. So when we get a pole shift again, people think it's a sudden thing. It can be, and it can move massively suddenly, which causes huge changes for the animals and everybody, actually. But the bottom line is, often that takes a long time, and it's moving now daily like miles. You can, again, find this out online. It's there, information. It's moving miles every day and many miles each day, okay? So it's indicative that there will be a full shift in the near future, right? Which could entail many things, maybe not major effects, but then major effects are possible too. They don't know because we haven't experienced one. And that's the problem, right? And we look back at the last time it would have happened was probably about, I don't know, several thousand years ago. And so, again, our knowledge of what happened at those times is somewhat limited, right? This is the problem. Now, bearing those things in mind, I'm just going to mention one other thing which sounds really conspiratorial and nonsense, but it isn't. And this is the thing. So a while ago, several years, like in the 90s, NASA admitted that there was a 10th planet, or a 9th planet, if you like. You don't want to call it, Pluto's not a planet anymore. Right, yeah, okay, whatever. It really doesn't make any difference what you want to call it. But anyway, there's another planet out there. They called it Planet X, and it was called Planet X a long time ago in the 40s and 50s too, when they first spoke of this, which is very interesting, and then suddenly forgot about it. And they made films about it. There's a film called The Man from Planet X, a very silly-seeming kind of sci-fi film, but it mentions some realities. And this was the fact that back then they were aware that there was a large planet outside of the known solar system, if you like, right on the edge of the solar system, which you can't see, which is large enough to perturb the orbits of both Pluto and Neptune. Now, if it's perturbing their orbits, it must be quite big to affect Neptune, because Neptune's big, right? So it's been there, it's been known about for some time. Now, am I saying, look, this is a fact, and it's, you know, it is the planet that we've talked about from the Anunnaki, who they say that their origins come from this planet, which is on the outskirts of our solar system and orbits every 3,600 years once, and is on an elliptical orbit coming up from the southern hemisphere up and around through the band of between Jupiter and Mars, which is exactly where, by the way, and you have to think about this, this is where the asteroid belt is. Well, what is the asteroid belt exactly? And what is it doing there? Well, it's called the Hammered Bracelet, and it's mentioned in the Bible. And the Hammered Bracelet is being the asteroid belt, is very likely, almost certainly, to have been a planet that was destroyed at some time in the past. Well, seeing as most scientists realize this is a truth, it's certainly plausible that something that could have caused its utter destruction would be another planetary body. Now, that planetary body happens to be going through that particular orbit, it would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it? I'm just saying. So, you know, this is for your for you to decide what you may think and do your own research. But nonetheless, so when we think, we know there's another planet out there, it's perturbing something, right? We know there's this history of the asteroid belt and these things have been caused. Well, put two and two together, and we know there's these historical texts that tell us the Anunnaki speak of these things in clay tablets, millions of clay tablets, only of which several thousand have been translated. There are many, many more. There'll be some in Iran, which is why that war was going on. We talked about that. But here's the thing. That knowledge has been stored for so long ago. Why would they talk about that if there wasn't some fake truth in it? All I'm saying is, let's say, imagine that they were talking about these gods who came from there, these humanoids, and that this planet has or had some life on it and came from that outskirts position. If it is approaching from the southern hemispheres, as it approaches the solar system will undergo changes, the outer planets, everything, because another large body coming into the solar system will affect gravitational changes in many ways upon all the bodies in the solar system, especially the sun. And this is particularly of great importance. The sun, of course, is always going to be the most important because it's affected the most, isn't it? At all times, it is affected the most and therefore puts the greatest effect on all the other planets out there. So if we think about this as a relatively, you know, whether it's true or not, the bottom line is, if there are that we know there's another body out there, and if it is even slowly entering the solar system, it's going to have effects. Now, my point is that if the Earth is already undergoing these issues of effects upon its molten core, and the sun's already sort of getting towards solar max, you're talking about big effects. Should that start to come into the solar system in the next few years, or slowly over time, depending on how fast it's moving, of course, you're going to see big effects. And I would argue that is exactly what all the end time prophecies are about. I've spoken about this many times before. I think its actual entrance may be a number of years in the future, but I do think that's happening. I've mentioned this before in other podcasts, in the earlier ones, because it's what it also spoke of in those, as I say, in the cuneiform tablets. But let's just bear in mind, so every time we hear about these different weather phenomenon, we have to put into mind, you know, it's all this cognitive dissonance thing. We have on the one side the crazy conspiracy theories running to something. Then we have the normies going, oh no, everything's what they say in the mainstream news. It's like, well, no, the truth is somewhere between the two, isn't it? And as I've always said, they're way smarter than you think. They've been playing with this for a long time. And so, of course, they throw you a bone, they twist the truth, and they confuse and obfuscate things so that you tend to think, You go into this idea, as I say, of cognitive dissonance, where you fall back on what your generalized beliefs are. So if you're into mainstream, oh yeah, I'll just believe what they say on the news and watch the telly, or oh no, it's always Jesus coming in the clouds, and you know, the usual nonsense from the conspiracy theory lot, and oh, it's the Earth's flat, shut up, please shut up, right? So and by the way, for all you flat earthers, here's a good one quickly. So it, very simple way to tell that the Earth's not flat. How come then, if the Earth's flat, no, do tell, how come you see different stars completely in the southern hemisphere than you see in the northern hemisphere? And you can't see them if you're in the other hemisphere. Have a think about that. Anyway, that's just a throwaway for you. We have to take on board, you know, things like, yeah, you know, in the Hawaii wildfire thing, one of the things that was interesting that I think it was a strange government involved thing. I'm not sure why, and yes, it could be to clear properties for people, but I would argue if that was the case, it would be so they could build on that for future underground installations, probably for their own preservation, which would make sense. Nobody's going to be looking there. They sell it up cheaply because nobody wants it anymore. It's in the middle of nowhere. Hawaii is pretty much in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, as I say, they're safe underground and nobody's going to bother them on a small island in the middle of nowhere. This is the thing, if they can be build deep underground military bases, etc. One of the things that makes me think they did that is that when you look at the burnt out cars in Maui, Hawaii, you see that what was the case is they look exactly like the cars that were burnt out about 2 miles away from the main event in 9/11. And those were hit by directed energy weapons. That's provably the case. If you don't believe me, read the book, Where Did the Towers Go? Her top physicist explains this in detail. She's not a conspiracy theorist at all. She explains it in detail. And the bottom line is, you can't get cars on fire suddenly caused by a plane hitting a building 2 miles away. It doesn't happen, does it? They suddenly break into fire and they're burnt out, like they're burnt out by 1,000 degrees. Well, the same cars, if you look at the footage, were in Hawaii, weren't they? Burnt out, really burnt. You go, that's wildfires don't really do that, generally speaking, to a car. They're not hot enough, you know what I mean? They don't have that effect. So, you know, two sides to that. But as I say, so just thinking about when we think about what's happening with the weather, the bottom line is there's many things going on. Are they playing around with it? Sure they are. Yes, they are. But sporadically and in different ways than you probably think. And it's probably not having the effect that most people think most of the time. I think we need to be very clear. There are lots of very strange things and very complex things happening to our solar system, which the people on the planet certainly are not in control of. Nobody is. And the solar system and the sun and the movement of the planets is what we need to be concerned of as well, in a big way. These people are aware of that, and the more they can make you think they're in control and you know, distract you with something else to worry about, the more you're not going to, you know, it's like that film Don't Look Up, right? You're not going to look up. You're going to be too busy looking at your Instagram, worrying about, I don't know, what you think they're doing, rather than looking overhead and seeing, you know, the big comet that's going to hit you, just as an analogy. Anyway, with that in mind, I hope it makes you think clearer about these issues and, as I say, you know, more kind of logically and from both points of view, rather than just picking up one side or the other. Just think clearer and make your own informed decisions from these kind of ideologies. With that in mind, I wish you, as always, truth, freedom, and balance.